any question cards for our panelists. I do have one question, Amanda. You talked about going to football games and concerts and so on and so forth, bringing your food. As somebody who traveled to come here, I'm not ashamed to admit to you all, if you go into my hotel room, there's a lot of food up there because I traveled with it. Would any of you like to talk about any challenges or successes, or just elaborate on traveling with food and how you maintain your program while you're not at home?
Let me tell you how you don't.
Oh, I'm sorry. There you are.
So I came to Holland 2004.
You had it.
I came to Holland 2004. I had 12 and a half years of back-to-back. Came back in 2018 after thinking I had it down. Had just sort of, I think that's going on 4 years. And I went to Greece.
Thank you.
And it was going to be fine. I had it all worked out with my sponsor. And then when we went over to an island to stay with somebody else who was providing the food, who could not, she'd say, well, I bought you a whole back over because that's what good for you. And it doesn't work for me. So there I was, and after about 5 or 6 days, I didn't have the control of my food that I'm used to having, and my frustration went right off the top. Now, I have a cell phone. I was desperate, and I could have called somebody, but I thought, it's the great obsession of every, I thought I had it, and then all of a sudden, I didn't. And when I opened that food that we had just taken from a restaurant that had french fries in it, I used a swear term and then ate the french fry. And I realized I hadn't been to a meeting. I hadn't been doing my reading and writing. I hadn't called people. I hadn't kept contact. How in the world did I think I could do this by myself? So I will never again take a trip where I don't have control of my food.
I have traveled a couple times this year, and some of my tips and tricks, if that's what you're alluding to, I pack a lot of what I need before I leave, and it's in a small little like lunch bag. I freeze a 16.9 ounce bottle of water, which as long as it's still frozen, you can go through TSA with it. If it melts a little bit, drink that little bit of melted water, they'll let you through with the rest of it.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I do. I pack, you know, vegetables and some proteins and, you know, portable things that I know will get me through the day and, you know, the things that are usually harder to find. I do have to just share a quick story about how God protects us in all situations. I flew to Boston a few months ago, and I got on a 7:30 a.m. flight. No less than 6 flights go to Boston from Minneapolis every day. I sat down in my seat, and there was another Howe fellow about 3 seats over from me. And we just kind of looked at each other and like nodded. And then the entire flight, I was obsessed with how she got this huge container of yogurt to TSA. I could not wait to get off the plane and call her and say, how did you do it? But again, it was frozen and it thawed by the time she was eating it. So really, just freeze everything and you're good to go.
Just recently have started going into restaurants, and like it was said, I bring food into restaurants all the time. I just have a little bag that on the down low, when the wait staff comes over and they're like, hey, what could we get for you, you know, and we're placing the order, I say, listen, I have some really bad allergies, but I tip well, and so I have corn in this bag, you know, like, so just weird things like that. And every restaurant I've been to is fine with bringing your own food in. They don't care.
You know, that was one of the things I was going to say. I'm going to keep it really short here. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
I go into restaurants with family members. I don't travel, so I can't weigh in on that. But I go into restaurants with family members, and you know, if I carry some of my food and order some and weigh and measure it, nobody's watching me, nobody cares. And what it allows me to do is to focus on people.
Thank you. We have one more question for the panel, no one specific, and we have about 2 minutes. Why do people name specific binge foods here when you're sharing? Why do you think that is? Is there a benefit to it?
There is for me. I do believe that abstinence gives us freedom from the food. So you can put a whole, you can fill this basket with candy and put it in front of me. I don't want it. But I used to want it. So for anyone in the room who's fighting a certain food, clue, better put that one down. And maybe it'll just help you realize that's the one to put down. Or the 2, or the 6, or the 23.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Like, I need to keep it fresh in my mind of those things that we've heard some people say. You know, my addict's in there doing push-ups. It's waiting for that 1 second to say, remember how it used to make you feel? Remember when this bag of this would make you happy? It would make, you know, and it's just waiting. And today, just like Peg said, like, I have neutrality from that. Like, I could sit here with anything and not feel the need to eat it because I have identified what my triggers are. And, you know, there are some things that I can eat that maybe Peg can't, or, you know, vice versa. And so it's really an honesty thing. You have to evaluate what is your trigger. And I think for me, I say it out loud because I need to keep reminding myself.
For me, it's I've been in Narcotics Anonymous and around people who have narcotic issues. They always mention their drug of choice. So I guess I just came in with that background.
Okay. So this is how I feel about character defects. This is how I feel about character defects too. I name them, and I keep talking about them. And there's a word I can't come up with. It's like I'm no longer sensitive to it anymore because I've learned that it's just something.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why I say the food. It's lost its power over me. But if I keep saying it over and over, it's like, yep, it's out there. And it's not mine. What's the word?
Neutrality?
Desensitized. That's it. That's it.
Awesome. Thank you. Before we thank our panel, I want to remind someone that there's a cell phone up here, and before I start opening bids at $20, all right, there's still a cell phone up here, and let's give it up for our panel. Thank you.
Great job.
We have a purse missing?
Can I get all these?
All right, we got a purse. We still need a cell phone owner.
I just want to add a little announcement here about the restaurant. There will be 3 tables for a buffet, and on every table there are 4 scales. So whoever is the first going through, put them where you need them. But just know that we'll all be using the same buffet line. So just make it convenient as you go through. So thank you.
Okay, Peggy, your phone. Here you go. All right. So a couple things. It's almost lunchtime at 11:45. But before we kind of dismiss here and go to lunch, we're going to have a skit. Oh, we're not. Oh, interactive. Sorry. An interaction with the audience. Pardon me. I got that wrong. Jean and Mark are going to come up here and have an interactive event with
Jean's coming up here.
With the audience. So, Jean's coming up.
Jean's coming up here.
And then after Jean,
we'll go to lunch.
we'll go to lunch. I was just going to make one real quick announcement. And that is the restaurant is just, if you need to use the elevator and not go on the steps, there's an elevator just right around the corner. So just go out those doors to the left, and there's an elevator that will help you up to the top floor. And then the restaurant is called Europa.
The lobby level.
So that's it. So after we have this interactive event, we will dismiss for lunch. Thank you.
Yes.
I promise that I won't keep you past 11:45 because you know how we get when we're late for a meal. My name is Jean. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Really grateful to be here. It is so amazing to be in person. And yes. So amazing to be in person. So I am current chair of the Unity Intergroup. Thank you. And I want to share just a couple of things that I have learned in my service with Intergroup. Number one, there's no them.
Yeah.
There is no them. This whole thing was not done by them. Betty and Joni are part of us. Everybody who's been up here to speak, everybody who has done anything is one of us. We get the OA we build, we get the Unity Intergroup we build. Unity Intergroup is made up of approximately 40, 45 groups within the Twin Cities. Every group is entitled to send two voting members to Unity Intergroup monthly meeting, second Saturday of the month, 12:30 to 2:30. If your meeting is not sending a representative, please consider joining us. That's where this all happens. If you love this, if you are getting some energy, some new ideas, connection, join us, because it doesn't happen without us. One thing we have coming up that we are going to do, the 12 step within committee on your chairs when you came in, you found a save the date. It is the 12 step within workshop, and it will be on Zoom on December 10th from 1 to 2:30. And the theme of it's going to be 2 steps back, 12 steps forward. And it's we're going to be focusing on a reading and writing tool to enhance our programs that we can take back to our meetings, that we can work on with our sponsees if people are slipping and sliding. So that's coming up. There are extras. If you go to an in-person meeting, please take a stack to share at your meetings. If you don't go to an in-person meeting, please take one to remind yourself to announce it on your Zoom meetings. So that's my little announcements and my pitches. What I wanted to do with an interactive thing was, as I mentioned, that the 12th Step Within committee is going to be sponsoring this workshop. But 12th Step Within is something that we can all do. And what the 12th Step Within is reaching out to other fellows within the fellowship, people you haven't seen for a while. And so I wanted to, you know, I had thought we would be around tables and it was going to be a tabletop discussion, but we're not. So maybe if people can raise hands and stand up and with their ideas of things that we can do to reach out within the fellowship. One of the things that I found on the OA.org website for World Service is plan outreach calls on the 12th at noon of any month as a reminder to reach out with 12 Step Within. Drive someone to a meeting who can't get themselves there. One thing that it wasn't my group, but I know that someone did, was when someone was on hospice, they brought the meeting to them. They brought a meeting to their home and did an in-home meeting with someone. So one of the things I wanted to do is, what are actions that you or your group have done to reach out? What are things that people did that was helpful to you when you were struggling? So I just would like to get some ideas flowing that we can take out to reach out to one another, because
we've heard really great speakers, and we know that there's really great recovery. We also know that there's some really hurting people. We know that there's people that are hurting and struggling. Patrick?
My name is Patrick. I'm a compulsive overeater.
I'm
in early recovery when I was having
Can you stand and face?
Sure.
And you can
use the microphone. Here's a microphone.
My second and third year of abstinence in this program, I was having toes amputated. I had bad infections in neuropathic legs. And I couldn't get around and I couldn't work. And one of the greatest 12-step things that happened to me is people showed up at my door with meals and hugs and talks. And they told me I wasn't alone, and they told me that they'd wheel me around if they needed to. And they brought me groceries, and they were friends and just would listen. Because I was struggling bad, and I was ready to throw it in. So you never know what one small kind act can do for another person who's struggling, if you're willing to reach out. I just, you know, that was a very powerful thing for me to be, hey, what do you need, right? Very powerful.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
I'm gonna come off to the podium and walk around with the microphone so people can talk.
Hi everybody, Kathy G, heartbroken and a crude addict. Our meeting learned this from another meeting. We're on Zoom, and which is at the end of the official meeting. There are usually a couple of sponsors who just stay on. We welcome anyone who's new, or we say has questions about the program, because we don't want this to be a time of sharing how miserable they are, because that is so valid, but that needs to be sort of a way. And it's very informal. Everybody's unmuted. There's maybe anywhere from 3 to 6 people. They just ask questions like, what do you do if you're invited to your nephew's wedding? You know, that just basic things. And I think the feedback we've gotten has been very positive, and those people tend to come back. Thanks.
Thanks, Kathy.
Hi, I'm Mary T., compulsive eater, Wilmorexic, and I really appreciate your service as chair.
As former chair.
Yes, it's a labor of love. I like your ideas with the number 12. Maybe once a month, those who are in recovery are willing to go and speak at any other OA meeting. And I'm really sensitive to our unity. Bill talked a lot about unity and, you know, how traditional, whatever, who cares? We're all OA,
yep.
Okay?
Yes.
We're all OA. And I, for one, am willing to speak at any meeting, so please get my number and call me, because it helps me. Selfishly, I want to go and do that. So I encourage others to maybe do it yourself once a month, go and speak at another meeting and tell your sponsees to do it too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Mark.
Gene, I can do without a microphone. For me, I think the biggest thing that helped in my recovery in OA is I hid behind that little black screen on Zoom. I had lost my abstinence, and I hid on Zoom. I wasn't turning my camera on. And when I had a fellow reach out and call me and said, why isn't your camera on? What the hell are you doing? I had to be truthful. I lost my abstinence after 4.5 years. And she said, get to a meeting, turn your damn camera on. In fact, go to a face-to-face meeting. And that's what I had to do. So for me, it's that face-to-face meeting, these being here in the room. But more than anything, we're going to go back and go to Zoom. Some of us are. Turn your cameras on. Don't hide behind that black screen.
Hi, I'm Alexis. I'm a compulsive overeater. Food addict. And very sensitive to the power of phone calls, because it was about a decade between the time I went to my first meeting and then actually joined for realsies. And every 2 years I would get a phone call from someone in Los Angeles who was, I guess, cycling through the We Care list and say, I'm working with you. I never answer his calls. but I got those voicemails. And so my 3 calls a day, on a good day, I will reach out to a long-timer or someone who's a member of my home group, someone who came in around the same time as me, and then I try to look for someone in my phone who I haven't heard from or I can't remember who's they.
Yeah.
I'm Nancy B. from Kentucky, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Nancy.
I went to visit my daughter, and she lives in the D.C. area, Washington, D.C. area. And there are some face-to-face meetings in that area. And so her husband drove me to one. It was real small, and they were real so nice to me. And you know what they did? They gave me a brown book. You know what I'm talking about? And that was way back. It was the first one that was ever published. And I used that book. I read out of it. I wrote out of it. And it was very helpful. And since then, I've actually passed it on to somebody. And that was just, what a gift.
Hi everybody, Caroline, compulsive eater in Gleeman. I want to follow up on Alexis' idea, which is, it is not a break of anonymity to say, Caroline needs a phone call. We did it a lot more when I first came in, and actually when I lost a sibling, and I got through abstinence because people called other people and said, call Caroline, she needs a call. They didn't say why. But I got call after call, and I was able to commit my food over and over again, and I couldn't have done it without people saying somebody needs a call. So I just want to remind us, it's not a break of anonymity to say, call Susan, she needs a call.
Hi, Lynette T., recovered compulsive overeater, newbie, 2.5 years in program and abstinent, and I would not be here if it wasn't for somebody sharing the message with the man who still suffers. And a fellow from another program did that for me, and face-to-face meetings, and the fact that now I can carry that in every aspect of my life. Medical doctors are super receptive to OA when they see that you can lose the weight that you could never lose anywhere else. And there's a sparkle in our eyes when we're recovered. Share the sparkle. Share that with your fellows. There are others out there still suffering, so don't forget about the man who still suffers.
Okay, and this will be the last one we've got time for, but talk about this at lunch.
So I have two things that I want to talk about. I've recently gone through a couple of deaths in my family, and I have a fellow in these rooms who said, what do you need? And I said, I need you to cook me some abstinent food and bring it over. I cannot get through my day. And they cooked me a pan of plain protein and a pan of roasted vegetables, and it saved my life. And you know, when people die, everybody brings you food. But it's really hard to get abstinent food, so remember, that is such a gift. And the other thing, I hear people saying I miss face-to-face meetings, all the meetings are on Zoom, and I want to remind you that anybody in this room can start a meeting.
Yep.
All you got to do is start a meeting, and I go to a face-to-face meeting on Monday night with Egan, and some fellows in that meeting said, you know what? I want another meeting. And so we are starting a Thursday night meeting. So two in-person meetings in Egan. But anybody can start an in-person meeting. If you miss an in-person meeting, find another fellow who misses an in-person meeting and you can start one.
And just so that everybody knows, if you start a meeting, you know, the intergroup will has a fund to donate $100 of startup money to a new meeting. So you register, you get the how to make a new meeting on the OA.org. You can get an outline of how to do it. And you know, the intergroup will give a little startup money.
But you need to come to
intergroup. So I'm going to dismiss for lunch. And so I'm going to let other people direct because I have no idea.
Thank you.